Hey guys, I just finished mixing the intro for this week's podcast. You want to give it a listen real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Hey guys.
Hey Sean.
This week on the podcast, let's talk about vetoes. They're interesting.
Yeah, the budget's news. I want to talk about vetoes.
Yeah, I'm talking about vetoes.
Hey, that's not what we said.
Yeah, we clearly said we were not going to talk about vetoes.
Ooh, sorry. Well, I'm the producer, and that means I get final veto power over what you guys say on the podcast.
John, that is not cool.
What was that?
John is cool.
Oh, thanks.
John, I do not think you should have this kind of power. John, I think you should have power. Hey, don't edit me.
Okay, it's clearly time for us to talk about veto powers in Wisconsin.
John's and the governor's.
This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm
John K. Wilson.
I'm
John K. Wilson. And I'm John K. Wilson. This week, let's talk about vetoes. So as much as sometimes I wish that this actually was a solo effort, I'm joined here today by Sean Johnson and Laurel White to talk about vetoes.
So rude.
And we didn't actually podcast last week because both you guys were off, so maybe we're a little bit late to the initial veto news, which was Governor Tony Evers issuing vetoes of the budget document. But we also have some new veto-related news to talk about this week, so we'll get it all in.
Yeah, absolutely. Never too late to talk about vetoes.
Plus, everybody knows you just got to let vetoes simmer. So you kind of understand them more with a little more time passed, right?
It's like a fine wine.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah,
and now we got to let that fine wine simmer.
I don't think that's right.
You guys don't like hot wine?
Actually, hot red wine is delightful. So, like okay. In the winter, you know, when the snow falling outside. Anyway.
So vetoes.
Yeah. What do you want to know, John?
Well, let's
start out by, for the person who gets 100% of their news from the WPR Politics podcast, what happened with the governor's budget vetoes last week? Laurel, did he veto the whole budget?
He didn't veto the whole budget.
Oh, okay.
Which would have been unprecedented since we went to an executive budget in the 1930s.
Yeah.
Fun fact, he didn't do that. He issued 78 partial vetoes of the budget.
And what did that do?
So, 78 different things, but I think,
good summary. Yeah.
I think the big thing that people talked about the most from the governor's 78 vetoes was the fact that he added about $65 million into the K-12 budget in Wisconsin through his veto. And this is particularly interesting because as we talked about vetoes in, you know, the week or so leading up to it, or even, you know, a little bit longer than that, we talked about how it would be very, very difficult, if not impossible, for the governor to add money into the budget. But he did.
Yeah, I feel like this is a little bit of an about that thing we said on budget vetoes, because that's sort of like a rule of thumb for me. Just, you know, remember, the governor has the strongest veto powers in the nation. You can strike individual words and dollar figures, get very creative and move money around. But he can't put money back is something I probably said a lot on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, he went and found some money, right? And I want to qualify that a little bit, though. Okay, because the budget that was presented to the governor was $81.7 billion. After his vetoes, the budget was smaller. It was $81.6 billion. So it's not like he used his budget to create money, you know? The budget on the whole did get smaller, but he did use his budget to cut money out of certain proposals that were put in there by Republicans. Mm-hmm. And with that money freed up, he was able to, you know, direct it to schools.
Yeah. So let's talk about the nitty gritty of this increase, because we've talked about how the governor can remove words, he can remove numbers, he can remove punctuation to do things. How did he use his power to add money into the budget? What he did was, let's take a deep breath.
We've worked this out.
Okay.
Yeah,
we know it now.
We do. So basically what the governor did was he used language in the budget, he manipulated language in the budget that lawmakers had messed with a little bit before. They had taken out some language that was a $630 increase for per pupil spending in Wisconsin. He restored that 630, but not all 630. He restored 63.
So by basically, deleting their deletion?
Exactly. So essentially what he did was he added money into the budget that had previously been there but was a larger number. Clear as mud, right?
Maybe we should start, maybe we should do like a big picture. Instead of schools getting $679 per pupil in year one of the budget and $704 in year two, the governor, with a very creative veto, changed that to $742 per pupil.
because 679 plus 63 is 742.
Yeah. And basically, what I take away from this is that if there is a section of the budget that has a lot of numbers in it, that is ripe for governor's veto. I would look at that paragraph and say, nothing to see here, right?
Yeah.
His staff, or maybe Governor Evers is up late at night by candlelight pouring through the budget and like, aha.
I just didn't know he could delete a deletion.
Yeah, that was kind of...
So I think it's really interesting that, like, there had been this language that was striked-throughed.
Stricken.
there we go.
Or strike-throughed. I like the ED after.
I was like... like don't, octopi or something? I don't know.
We're not vetoing that on the podcast, sorry.
It's okay. I just didn't know there was this language that had been stricken that was 630 from lawmakers. I had no idea that he could undo the deletion, but only in part, you know?
So instead of undeleting 630, he undeleted 63.
So basically at the end of the day, if you, you know, could just like veto this whole conversation up until this point, he added $63 per pupil in each of the next 2 years to an increase that was already there. So,
and that's how we get the
65 million.
65 million overall for schools that he was able to increase. And again, like the overall budget got smaller because he deleted other stuff. But he wouldn't have had to in theory. So here's the other thing about the per pupil aid. It is a sum sufficient appropriation. This is podcast gold, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, a sum sufficient appropriation. It just means that whatever it costs, the state will pay. Because the state doesn't know exactly how many students there are going to be in a given year. So the state can't just be like, we're going to cut it off here, and then there's more students. The state didn't have enough money to pay schools. So it's sum sufficient. Whatever it costs, we'll pay. So he could have, in theory, added back $630 per student to the other figures, which would have been about a $1 billion increase. There's not money in the budget for that. So he didn't do that. But that was eye-opening to me. Like, there's nothing really preventing him from doing that, except Wisconsin does have a balanced budget requirement. And he couldn't just, like, turn a budget back and be like, yeah, it's we're a billion in the red.
Right.
Well, that is some sufficient explaining you did there.
I'm not sure it is, man. I'm trying real hard, though.
I feel like we should mention how he paid for this extra $63.
Yeah, talk us through that.
Per student. So he did a couple things. A big one was taking away some of the money the state would have used to enforce the work requirements for some public benefits in Wisconsin, like food stamps. So I think he got around $20, $21 million from vetoing those, the funding to enforce those requirements. He got a pretty big chunk of money from a re-estimate of how much Medicaid is going to cost in Wisconsin. They made an early payment on that. He got about $30 million there. He also took some funding out of a supplemental fund that the Joint Finance Committee would have discretion over later in the year to fund some different programs. It's sort of like another layer of approval for these things to get funding. Some UW projects went there, some DHS initiatives went there. basically the governor took the money out of the budget because his office says, for example, DHS already had the money to implement some of these programs because they had a budget surplus in the last 2 years of state funding. So he said, we don't need that amount of money in the budget now. They've already got that taken care of. So he picked up some money there as well. So kind of just nips and tucks in various areas.
So those are some of the headline items and minutiae of what the governor actually did. How was it received after he did that?
Well, Republicans didn't like it, John.
Well, you know, it was pretty interesting because the first Republican to react was Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. He had a press conference just shortly after the governor released these vetoes. And I would say, on the whole, he wasn't terribly upset.
Yeah, I wasn't at that. But what I read from your reporting on that was he said, like, you know, that's the governor's prerogative. And on the whole, he just signed a Republican budget.
Yeah, I think Senator Fitzgerald pretty much framed it as a win for Republicans. He said the governor didn't make any, I think he said the changes were minimal to the budget. And somebody asked him, well, are you upset about the per pupil increase? And he said, oh, that's the governor's prerogative to do that. He was more concerned with kind of the lobbying effort behind asking the governor to increase per pupil funding.
Yeah, he did not like that there was a Wisconsin Association of School Boards. Was that it?
Yep. And had reached out and asked the governor to add.
They were very publicly, they're like, here are some ways that you could use your veto pen to increase school funding. And Senator Fitzgerald didn't like that.
He did not like it. And actually, the amount of per pupil funding, the increase that that association asked for, was much less than the governor ended up putting in the budget.
Wow.
So after Senator Fitzgerald's response, then we got, not in a press conference, but in a statement from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who was more concerned with the governor's action on the budget, not so much about the per pupil increase, but more about taking away that funding that I talked about for work requirements for food stamps. Budget co-chair John Nygren released a similar statement, also expressing some concern about that. It wasn't really until this week, I think, that the increase for school funding sort of like became more of a topic of concern.
And it was surfaced by Senator David Craig and Representative Mike Kuglich. Two Republican lawmakers started circulating this resolution, which would restrict the governor's veto power. They didn't like that he used the veto pen to increase funding on schools more than the legislature had authorized. And so they're saying the governor should not be allowed to do this.
So this is a process that we've seen in Wisconsin a couple times in the past 30 years or so, introducing a constitutional amendment to roll back the governor's veto powers a little bit.
So the first one was getting rid of the the Vanna White veto, right?
In 1990. The Vanna White veto is when you take out letters in words to make new words.
So Tommy Thompson was using that and had learned to perfect the art of the veto with the Vanna White veto. Vanna White, still famous, you know, still turning those letters. And so then there was this other effort that happened more recently that restricted. You got, look, if you're going to restrict veto power, you got to give it a fancy name. This is a rule.
I love this one.
This is the Frankenstein veto.
This is fantastic.
And this was a proposal that was passed under Governor Jim Doyle. It was initiated by Republicans. And it would prevent governors from combining parts of two or more sentences to create a new sentence. So you saw in this budget what a governor can do in one sentence to get really creative. But previously, a governor could stretch that out a little bit more. And Governor Jim Doyle did to, you know, manipulate the budget more to his liking when Republicans were in control of the legislature and Jim Doyle, a Democrat, was governor. This one, I remember, this was like the cause of the Wisconsin State Journal editorial page for a while.
Yeah, getting like they wrote Frankenstein veto to go away.
Yeah. They made it their cause, like the editorial after editorial, bring this up for a vote, bring this up for a vote, because by the time that it came up, I think for second consideration, because you want to amend the Constitution, it has to pass two consecutive. John's like, get to the process, Sean. two consecutive sessions of the legislature and then be approved by voters.
a statewide referendum.
Yeah. And so I think that it might have been second consideration that they had to get it approved by a Democratic controlled Senate. Mm-hmm. And so they're pushing Democratic senators to go against their governor. And I remember at this one hearing, the State Journal shows up and they have somebody dressed in a Frankenstein mask. Actually, I just reached out to Scott Milfred, the editorial page editor, and said, like, did I remember this correctly? And he's like, yeah, that was Phil Hands, our cartoonist, I guess it'd be Frankenstein's monster, the mask. Mm-hmm. Nobody dresses up as the doctor, but he's Frankenstein's monster there at this hearing to try to, like, nudge Senator Risser into.
Man, I feel like that would be such a fun Halloween costume. Someone could be a Frankenstein veto. Somebody could be a Vanna White veto.
See, I thought you were going to say that the person pulled off the Frankenstein monster mask and it was actually Vanna White under there. And she's like, I have something to re-bring up here, okay? Anyway,
not everybody thinks that this is such a bad thing that mm-hmm. the governor has this power. In fact, I mean, the reaction from the governor's office when Republicans proposed this new restriction was, you guys are sore losers.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're kind of hearkening back to the lame duck session. Tony Evers gets elected. The governor has all these powers. Republicans take them away. Mm-hmm. Tony Evers has his first budget. He gets some more of what he wanted with the veto. Republicans take that away. So you're seeing that a little bit. The other thing that I think is interesting to note was, one of the people that reacted to this proposal was Tommy Thompson, right? Former mm-hmm. Governor Tommy Thompson, Republican. Yep. Laurel, what did he say about this idea?
So he says that he is in favor of it. He doesn't believe that governors should be able to increase spending with their vetoes. He said, you know, I'm not really one to talk because I vetoed a lot.
Yes,
I used my veto pen with fervor. He didn't use those words, but, you know, he was like, I'm not going to tell a governor not to veto, but I do think they shouldn't be able to increase state spending. Interestingly, there was just a new memo. You were telling us about this earlier, Sean, that kind of documented some of the different vetoes that governors have done in the past. And it sounds like Governor Thompson did actually use his veto pen to increased spending a couple times.
Yeah, he did. So this is put out by the Legislative Reference Bureau in conjunction, you know, with help from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. And they look back at every budget starting in 1991. It's happened 31 times. Every governor has done it since 1991.
To increase state spending.
Every governor has increased state spending with their veto power. So this is not new. I mean, I think what Tony Evers did here is interesting enough that we're talking about it and we're focused on, like, deleting deletions. And, you know, it's interesting. And the governor's veto power has definitely been discussed for a long time in Wisconsin, whether it's too strong, but it's not new.
But I guess at this point, we just have to wait and see whether or not this proposal goes anywhere.
We do know that. So Senator Fitzgerald and Speaker Voss have both said that they're supportive of it. So I think that's a good sign in terms of whether or not the bill is going to get, like, or it's not a bill, it's a resolution. Whether or not the resolution is going to kind of have the endorsement of leaders to make the steps that it needs to get through the process, I think that's probably going to happen. So, you know, I think it's something that certainly isn't going to go away.
The thing they have to kind of weigh, I guess, is they think they're going to have a Republican governor again. Of course, in a state like Wisconsin, if you're one of the big political parties, you would be foolish not to assume you'll be back in the governor's office. And so, you know, if they have a Republican governor again someday in the near future, do you want to restrict their powers? Senator Craig says, yeah, I do. I'm okay with that. But there might be other Republicans who are a little, I mean, I don't know, less enthusiastic about it. Mm-hmm. Leadership came out in support of it, though. So that's pretty good sign for a resolution. It would, though, again, need to pass two consecutive sessions to the legislature. We don't know what the next legislature is going to look like exactly. And it would have to be approved by voters. You're not going to veto any of this, are you, Mr. Almighty Producer, with your powerful podcast veto pen, John
Maybe.
K. Wilson?
He's not going to tip his hand. We should have made this a shorter podcast so he had fewer opportunities.
That's true. Every time I say a word, there's a chance that you're gonna strike it out and make me sound like an idiot.
And then silence. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
I'm afraid to say anything. You're just going to manipulate my words. Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
What else do Vanna White and Frankenstein's monster have in common? Well, I'm assuming it's that they both subscribe for new episodes of the WPR Politics podcast almost every single week on Apple Podcasts. So you should too. You can also find it on Google Play or Stitcher if that's more your thing, or on many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime you want at wpr.org/politics.